But first, Mother's Day is tomorrow. There'll be flowers and cards and breakfasts in beds and lunches out. And if you don't have your mam, especially if it's your first one without her, then memories will be bittersweet. And, you know, that is the first one's always very, very tough. But whatever your mother does pretty much dictates how you will be as an adult, I think. And no matter how adult you are, you're always a child to your mam. Dr. Claire Hayes, consultant clinical psychologist and regular on the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Maria.
How are you? I'm grand, thanks.
Thank you.
Our mothers are so influential on us, aren't they? Like, and you, as I said in the intro there, you're always a child to your mother. So your mother will talk to you sometimes like you're four. What have we got that on you for?
And I was just thinking, I don't know if Paddy's mother is alive, but you may be sure if she is, she's rooting for him.
Absolutely.
You know, so they might not say it to your face, but they're very much there. But I suppose I was thinking about this, and we come back to one of the core truths. We're all individual. And some people are blessed with their mothers, and other people only realize that maybe when their mothers are gone. And mothers, in my experience, get a really hard time, Maria, a lot of the time. You know, they're the ones that are blamed. They're the ones that are just seen as not good enough. They absolutely devote themselves to their baby, their toddler, their child. And no joke, I've had a mother in her 80s contact me to see, could I, in quotes, fix her son? And what age is he? He was in his 60s. Oh. And I said, does he want to be fixed? No, he doesn't. But I want you to ring him and fix him. So I said, well, no, you know, I can't do that, but I can work with you if you like about what it is about him that's bothering you. And it was such fun, Maria, and she was brilliant and a real incredibly thoughtful, caring mother who just did not want to see her child unhappy, even when he was in his 60s.
you really are a child your whole life to them. But I suppose the main thing about you mentioned there about like how hard it is to be a mother, and I completely agree with you. I'm not one. I hats off to anyone who does it. I don't know how you do it, but an awful lot of that pressure, do you not think, they put on themselves?
Oh, they do, and I'm not one either. And much as I would have loved to have been, and also I'm very conscious as we have this conversation that we're not the only two, Maria. There are lots of women out there who a day like tomorrow is like a knife stabbing them in the heart. They would have given anything to be a mother, and to have a day celebrating mothers can be very, very isolating. So, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge those women as well. And also, you know, there's this view of motherhood, I think there can be, that women get pregnant, they're going to have a wonderful baby, and it's all going to be fantastic. But you know, and I know, that is not the reality for so many women, and things go wrong. So during pregnancy, there can be miscarriages, there can be all kinds of complications, there can be chromosomal difficulties. So a child might be born premature, might be born emergency C-section, a child might be born having just missed a tiny piece of oxygen and have brain damage for the rest of their life. And in my experience, whatever happens when the child is born, the child's mother can tend to blame herself for the rest of her life, that she shouldn't have done whatever she thinks she did wrong, or she should have done whatever she thinks she didn't do right. And that's really hard for her and really unfair. And it doesn't help, but it's there. And it can be there hidden under the surface for her whole lifetime after that.
And a lot of mothers, I think particularly with their first child, they make a lot of mistakes that they never make with the subsequent children, if they have any more. And that first child can be affected by those things. But I think as you get older, you can kind of heal your relationship with your mother, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if we change the word mistake to learning, learning experience, learning opportunity, you know, and the younger children in a big family would not say that there were mistakes made. They might say that the older one was spoiled and got everything. And, you know, and then we're into a different conversation around sibling rivalry and birth order. And, you know, it's just fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating. But there is a thing that I think a lot of women, when they have their own babies, are determined to do things completely different to how their mother did it. And that can be very difficult. It can be funny too, but it can be difficult. So, for instance, the child isn't allowed to cry, or the child is allowed to cry, or doesn't have a suitor, or, you know, doesn't have whatever it is, solids, whatever. And that can be very, very, very hard for the mother who's now grandmother watching, you know, with, and she has the wisdom. And she would think, you know, all you have to do is, but she might not want to, you know, step on her daughter's toes. And if it's the mother of her grandchild is the daughter-in-law or her son's partner, she is maybe less likely to want to step on her toes. So it's a whole pile of complexity. And I think if we realize that, you know, that there isn't this ideal, there are moments where we see a mother and child cuddled in and it's beautiful and it's like the famous paintings. But there are other moments. I remember very well one of my close friends being very honest with me many years ago about wanting to, I won't even quote what she said, but it was her own frustration in terms of her child who wouldn't stop crying. And that was something that a lot of people wouldn't say out loud because they would be afraid of being judged, afraid of being taken seriously, maybe a fear of being reported. But it comes back to that women, mothers, absolutely 1,000,000% need to take care of themselves. And again, in my experience, they don't. They look after their partners, their children. They, if a child has any particular difficulty or challenge, whatever it is, the mothers can devote the rest of their lives to compensating or getting that fixed or sorted or better or blaming themselves. And I've often said to mothers, look, you're whatever age you are, if you really don't start taking care of yourself, who's going to take care of your child in 5 years' time or 3 years' time or 6 months' time? And that can be a bit of a wake-up call because that can happen. And mothers, the whole idea of self-sacrifice and seeing as a wonderful thing, the airports don't allow that. The airlines, you are told over and over to put your own oxygen mask on first because otherwise you're not going to have the oxygen to be able to look after your children. But mothers tend not to do that. There's a sort of, I think, a glory in the more self-sacrificing some are. And then the reality is that a lot of families are single families too. So the mothers or the dads are away or, you know, whatever it is, that mothers do end up carrying a huge amount of responsibility.
And I think your mother is always the person who will say something to you that's hard to hear.
Yes.
And hard to say to your child as well, if you need to be told something, you know, truthfully. Your mother will kind of take that on, I think.
Yes.
And, no, I'm sure and fathers also, do as well. Like, no, but it's Mother's Day tomorrow, so we're talking about mothers.
Yes, no, and it's great we have Father's Day as well. So we're absolutely not forgetting about fathers. No. They're really important too. But you're right. And it can come at a very high cost. I mean, some mothers get blamed and cut off and a sort of an angry response. And it could be many years later when the daughter realizes, oh my gosh, she was right. Mm. And often it's when women have their own children, they realize, oh my gosh, this is what it was like for my mother. Wow. And they can have a completely different sense of respect and families can come closer at that point. Not always, you know, one of the saddest things I think is, I remember one of my aunts talking about a friend of hers whose daughter had completely cut her off many, many, many years ago. And that's really hard. Mothers devote their lives to their children and then want to do the same to their grandchildren, and they're not allowed. Now, the other side, as we know, Maria, there are wonderful relationships people have.
Absolutely.
And going back to, I suppose, the first year of life, and maybe this is for women who are at the moment in the wonderful position of being pregnant, there's attachment theory. So some babies and mothers have a really strong, secure, healthy attachment. And others don't. And I found it can be a chicken and an egg. It can be insecure. The child might be very, very clingy, but it could be the mother who's also very clingy. Mm. And then there's what's called the detached attachment style, where actually the mother doesn't even notice if the child's crying and the child can be more on their own. And those attachment styles have been found to be fairly consistent through life. So, you know, mothers get blamed, which isn't fair, but there are so many variables to explain why someone is the way they are. You know, their genes, the circumstances around their birth, their birth order, the age, personality, ability of their mother. If their mother is experiencing mental health difficulties, if she has postnatal depression, that might impact on the child. And then the other side is we all are resilient. We all learn from opportunities. It's not about having the perfect life and complaining if we don't. It's actually, you know, what the Buddhists say about life is suffering. It's realizing life is challenges. We do the best we can. Mothers definitely do, in my experience. It's not fair the extent they blame themselves and are blamed. And we love them because I remember reading something that no matter who your mother is or what your mother's like, you're going to miss her when she's gone. And that's very profound.
Yeah, there's always a saying that you'll never miss it. No, you'll never miss your mother till she's gone.
Yeah, but it's about enjoying her while she's here, isn't it?
Yeah, so and I would say as well that if you find out as you mature that she was right about something and she's still there, tell her yes. She was right.
Absolutely.
I would say. Because that will be nectar.
She knows anyway.
But to hear you say it, I think that must be really, yeah, I know I was right, but it's good of you to acknowledge that.
Absolutely. And it's never too late to apologise, you know, because mothers can tend to brush it under the carpet and say, oh, it's all right. I don't want to talk about it. It's fine. And it might not be. And hurts can fester for years. And can Christmas, as we've talked about this before, Marie, but Christmas is a mighty time when hurts that are hidden just suddenly explode. And something like Mother's Day tomorrow, expectations. So there could be some women who are really hoping they might get a phone call.
Yeah.
That a phone call would mean so much to them. And then maybe just, you know, go off to bed tomorrow night just upset but resigned. No. And it could be not that the family didn't think of them. They were too big. They just didn't think that it was Mother's Day. No excuse. And then there could be others that are all you know, going to a beautiful restaurant for lunch, but the meal is cold, or there's something just not right, or there's too many people, or they weren't booked in. So like with everything in life, we just take it. You know, there'll be some wonderful moments tomorrow, and there might be some moments that we can learn from.